Hello, and welcome to We Speak CVE, a free podcast from the CVE program. On this podcast, we'll talk with people from the cybersecurity community about what else, cybersecurity and vulnerability management, and the CVE catalog of vulnerabilities. If you didn't know, the CVE program's mission is to identify, define, and catalog publicly disclosed cybersecurity vulnerabilities.
Hello and welcome to the CVE podcast. My name is Shannon Savins, your host. I'm a CVE board member and I'm also a director of threat response at CrowdStrike. With me today is Julia Turkovich from CISA, and I'd like to let Julia introduce herself. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Shannon. Thanks for introducing me. I work in the cybersecurity division at CISA, specifically in vulnerability management. Part of my responsibilities are recruiting new CNAs to the CVE program, which CISA sponsors and co-operates alongside MITRE.
Julia, tell me a little bit more about CISA. Some folks may be very familiar with CISA and the incredible support that they offer and provide, and some of our audience may be less familiar with CISA. Would you tell us a little bit about CISA and the mission in general, and then about vulnerabilities and CVE specifically?
Sure thing. So CISA is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. We fall under the Department of Homeland Security here in the U.S. And like in its name, CISA is responsible for cybersecurity across the federal enterprise and the national ecosystem, as well as infrastructure security across those things. But in the world of cybersecurity and operational technology, we know that those things extend beyond just the U.S., and that's where vulnerability disclosure comes in. Companies from all over the world have products that we use here in the U.S. and vice versa, and some of those products are OT, some are IT. It's all mixed in together. So one of CISA's roles is to facilitate coordinated vulnerability disclosure across the global cyber ecosystem. Specifically, CISA has a special interest and scope in the CVE program in industrial control systems, medical devices, and the automotive industry.
And so looking at the CVE program, we federated out some time ago where MITRE was the top level route, and then there were additional routes with specific scopes. And you mentioned industrial controls, and you mentioned automotive. But maybe we should tell the people a little bit about, you know, what are the routes and who are the routes, and what does it mean for CISA to have this role and scope as a route for industrial controls and automotive, et cetera?
Of course. So MITRE was the first CNA and started assigning CVEs to vulnerabilities by hand. And as the program grew, we needed capacity to match. And so one ways to fill that gap was to create a hierarchy. So MITRE is a root, and so is CISA. That means we are responsible for the recruitment and governance of CNAs that fall under our root scope. The other roots that are in the CVE program are Google, Red Hat, and Insibe, so the Spanish cert, and JP cert, the Japanese cert. And so all of us are roots that are responsible for recruiting CNAs who align with our specific scopes to join the CVE program. For CISA, that means we are interested in recruiting companies in the industrial control systems, medical devices, automotive industries for our coordinated vulnerability disclosure. The other piece I want to mention about being a root is we are also a CNA of last resort and a top-level root. Both CISA and MITRE have additional responsibilities unlike the other four roots I mentioned. So as a top-level root, we are responsible for co-operating the program, and we report directly to the CVE board. And we're also a CNA of last resort, which means should there be any disputes amongst the CNAs about a vulnerability, if it should be assigned, if it falls within a different CNA's scope, things like that, we are the route that is responsible for coordinating and resolving that issue.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of people don't necessarily know that the CVE program has a process by which, you know, we can help people resolve CVE disputes. What one person thinks is a vulnerability is CVE-able. And somebody else, you know, feels differently. There is a disputes process, and the top level roots can help us resolve those. So I'm glad you brought that. I'm glad you brought that up. I noticed you mentioned several times recruiting, which I think is fantastic and helping us grow as a program and as an international program. How many CNAs do you have under your scope presently, and in how many countries?
So in May, we were proud to announce two industrial control systems CNAs who put us up to 31 CNAs under the CISA ICS route in 11 different countries. So that is a great milestone that I'm glad you asked about, Shannon. And yeah. Then. You know,
countries is impressive. I love that.
Well, and what's also interesting to note is so all across the CVE program from all the different routes, CISA, MITRE, and CBE, JP CERT, Google, and Red Hat, together we have over 290 partners in 36 countries. And the other sort of stat I want to throw out there is it's not just governments, it's not just software companies. You can be a researcher, a vendor, open source company, a bug bounty provider, or even a hosted service. Those are all partners in the CVE program. There's different hats you can wear to be a part of the CVE program.
That's a really good point. You know, I think people do necessarily think of vendors, but increasingly, you know, we see participation from the research community and in particular the bug bounties and bug bounty service providers. Yeah, for sure. And frankly, from my own background, when I coordinated vulnerability research for the Zero Day Initiative, I had really wonderful experiences working with CISA and what was USICS CERT at the time, reaching out to international industrial controls vendors and just tremendous support there, great people to work with. And I was very, very impressed.
And well, thank you, Shannon. We're just ever growing our international presence and partnerships. It is a community-driven program. This isn't a U.S. government program. The U.S. government participates and sponsors this program. But one of my favorite aspects is that we do partner, and keyword partner, with vendors, bug bounty providers, researchers, open source orgs from all over the world.
Yeah, I found that to be true, and I was very impressed with that. I also, you know, coming back to, you mentioned several times recruitment, but which is a huge part of building and growing the program, of course. But I felt like you undersell the incredible support that the program offers, and I'm sure that that you offer the CNAs under your top level route. And only one of the things you do is resolving disputes, but also, I've just been so impressed with so many of the other things that you do. So, you know, not just recruitment. I think if a vendor or a research entity
what have you, came under the CISA route, under the CISA top level route, I think, you know, they would find tremendous support there for all the things that they need to do as a CNA. That said, I think a lot of organizations can be intimidated by becoming a CNA, and they worry about, you know, who can become a CNA and what's really required, and you know, they imagine obstacles to becoming part of the CBE program and becoming a CNA. But I think it's really easier than people imagine, you know, and it's not an elite program, you know, it's a community, and there are rules, if you will, and commitments, but I think the bar is really quite you know, quite a modest bar. So tell us about what's really required and you know, who can become a CNA.
Absolutely. And, you know, we want to make the CVE program accessible to as many participants as who are interested. I think what many people know is that if you have a vulnerability response or vulnerability management department at your organization, you use the CVE program. And sort of the next step as an organization or as a researcher would be to start participating in the CVE program and actively disclosing vulnerabilities. So with that, to become a CVE or a CNA, a CVE numbering authority, you have to have a public disclosure policy, and you also have to have a public advisories page. What we typically find is, mature organizations who, as I said, already participate in some sort of vulnerability management activities, they just need to document it on their public-facing website. It's really that simple. Other organizations who maybe are ready to take their company to the next step usually need to talk to their leadership and see, do we have capacity to start disclosing vulnerabilities publicly? Do we have enough staff to help with assigning CVE IDs? Is our, you know, organization ready to take our, you know, global cybersecurity presence and policy to the next level? And so those are the two types of organizations that come to us: ones who already have that in place or who are ready to take the next step. And a lot of times organizations already have a public advisories page, but they may view it as a customer only advisories page. For instance, if you are a medical device company and if you issue alerts to your customers to update their certain devices, that's already a public advisory. It's just for your customers only. So to become a CNA, you would have to open that up to the public. Now, you do have to make sure there is no fee or cost for someone to get access to that vulnerability knowledge. The purpose of the CVE program is for public and global benefit, which is why there's no fee to participate. But also there is, you know, there is should be no barrier for anyone in the world to view an advisory.
I love that. And I have to say, I found from my own experience something that you said is very true, which is a lot of organizations that wonder if they're ready to become a CNA and that approach the program are already doing a lot of the things that they need to be ready. They already have some form of tracking system. They already have some form of advisory. And so if your organization is hesitating about whether you're ready, come talk to the program or come talk to one of the roots about whether or not you're ready. You don't have some commitment by engaging, And probably I think many organizations may be further along than they, you know, than they realize that they are today. Now that's not everybody, but I think that's often true. Go ahead. Sorry.
I definitely agree with you, Shannon. And I do want to, you know, express my openness and enthusiasm to help any company, researcher, vendor, bug bounty provider. If you are interested in becoming a CNA, go ahead and reach out and show your interest in the program, in the CVE program. Again, it's stuff they already have, but we're just making it public. And it can be as simple or as complicated as you want. And what's great about the CVE program is if you go to cve.org, the list of partners, you can see organizations who you might already, you know, do business with or whose missions align with yours. You can see what their policy looks like. And, you know, we encourage that sort of collaboration and, you know, teamwork amongst the CNAs as well.
Yeah, I think we have a lot to learn from each other and a lot to benefit from each other. I think this isn't a space for professional and business competition. Like, this is a place to benefit from others who have your, you know, your same experiences or similar experiences, right? Businesses similar to yours that are already doing advisories, and it's a very open space for sharing about vulnerabilities and security. And I think people benefit a lot from the community. And I'm going to toot one of the working groups. The CNA working group has a mentor program, a mentorship program. I'm going to sort of toot that program's horn, I guess, if you will, just to say if they're it's another resource. If folks are in doubt about their readiness, there is a mentorship program available. Julie, I have one other question I want to ask you, though. Let's say that when I approach the program and I seem to fit, you know, a particular sector or what have you, is my route necessarily assigned to me? Or what if I'm industrial controls, but I'm also a Japanese company, or maybe I fit into a different buckets, and maybe, you know, one may be better for me? Do I have as an organization, do we have a say in which route we would fall under, or how does that work?
Yes. So a prospective CNA can choose which route they would like to work under. The CVE program obviously has suggestions based on the different routes and their different scopes. You know, using your example, if it a ICS company based in Japan, you know, expressed interest in the program, they filled out the online form. What happens is MITRE and CISA and the other routes talk about what route may make the most sense. One reason for example, being a part of CISA is our, you know, we have a portfolio or CNAs under us who are also in that same sector. So we can, we have industry knowledge and familiarity with assigning CVEs that are related to your organization. With that being said, there are also lots of benefits to joining as a route under JP Cert, a big one being time zones and coordinating vulnerabilities across the globe, and also knowing regional policies and other regional practices that may influence your vulnerability disclosure policy. Or if that company partners with JP Cert already in another capacity. Those are both pros and cons to being under one of the routes. And we all have a good working relationship with each other. We encourage the growth of every route to have more CNAs under us, because that overall increases coordinated vulnerability disclosure we welcome that sort of discussion amongst the roots ourselves.
That's very impressive. That's a great answer. And I feel like that gives a lot of flexibility for people to participate. So that's a great response. Julie, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you would want to share with people that I should have asked you?
I think there's no other questions I wish you had asked. I wish I had included that the onboarding process is not intimidating to become a CNA. It is less than 5 hours total. We schedule a meeting. We do an hour-long onboarding training. We assign the prospective CNA homework so they can practice assigning CVE IDs using the new automated JSON 5. And then we pick an announcement. So those steps go by pretty quickly once a CNA has a public vulnerability disclosure policy and a public security advisories page. So it's a small commitment with huge benefit, and time should not be a barrier to a company coming aboard to the CVE program. We want to make it as accessible and smooth and beneficial for both the roots and the partner CNAs as possible.
I'm really glad you said that. I think that's excellent guidance. Really great. Well, Julie, I would just want to thank you for coming on the program. Every time I talk to you, I really enjoy it and I'm really impressed. We'd love to have you back on the podcast anytime. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Shannon. You know, I speak CVE and I'm so happy to be a part of the CISA ICS route and to partner with all of the CNAs under us as well as across the CVE program.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us today on the We Speak CVE podcast, which is available for free on Buzzsprout and the CVE website. If you'd like to participate or suggest a topic, please contact us on the CVE website.